The Education Committee will come to order. And good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We have a little bit shorter meeting period this morning, so we're going to get started. We hope that we have two bills on the agenda today. And the first one is Senate File 314, Senator Scogan. And then we'll move to Senate File. The next one is Senator Salzman has a Senate File 851. Welcome, Senator Scogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This morning before you have Senate File 314, and this is a technical change in statute, but it carries quite a bit of weight, actually, as we move through some difficult budgeting times. And if you will take a look at 314 and turn your attention to page 3, line 13, that is the change that we are recommending, that if a group wants to petition a school board to put a referendum back on the ballot, they would need at least 30% of their registered voters to sign that petition. And with me this morning, members, is the superintendent of schools in Frazee Vergas. They have a history of not being able to pass referendums. Then they passed one, and now the no people would like to take the vote again. So Darren Stender is with us this morning.
Thank you, Senator Scogan, and welcome. Please give your name for the record.
Yes, good morning. My name is Darren Stender, superintendent of the Frazee Vergas School District.
And you can go ahead.
Okay. As Senator Scogan stated, the Frazee Vergas School District has been entrenched in a long-term battle. It took us 7 years, five attempts in those 7 years before we were able to pass a referendum. We did not have an existing referendum on the books, and had gone through, in a period of about 4 years, a little over $2.3 million in cuts and reduced our budget significantly. Period of those 7 years, each time, instead of the results becoming closer and closer and more favorable for the yes vote in securing the referendum, it actually grew stronger and stronger with the no vote up until 2007, when we were successful in finally passing a referendum at $1,000 per pupil unit. Over those 7 years, what also happened was our community started to become divided. Silent people were now vocal people. People that were invisible were now visible. And the battles were clearly on Main Street amongst the people of the community. The issues were becoming very prevalent, even with students in kindergarten who were wondering where they were going to be going to school and asking their parents some very difficult questions that only adults really should understand. In Frazee, it was well known to our students even what the issues were and what the potential issues were facing the Frazee Vergas School District. Last summer, the same people who are organized as a no vote filed a petition onto the school district asking to put the question back on the ballot in 2008. The district, this issue went to the Supreme Court twice, went to district court twice, and we've been entrenched in battles, legal battles, and spending a lot of money in trying to make sure we get the right answer and proceed in the right decision. This issue has been to the Secretary of State's office, the Attorney General's office, and if they were successful in putting this back on the ballot with the current economic conditions and the climate in our school district, I am almost certain that they would be successful in revoking full authority of funding that we generate off of that referendum. The referendum generates 10% of our budget, excuse me. And for a lot of school districts in the state of Minnesota, it would range from 10 to 20%. Here's what my real fear is. While I'm here for Frazee, I'm also here on behalf of education for the state of Minnesota. You've got 313 school districts out of your 341 public schools that depend on the resources generated through a referendum. I can tell you in a blink of an eye how many school districts I think would lose their referendum authority if people knew that this was an option. We've got some very diligent people in Frazee that are working on this, and they will not fail second time around. They will not fail the second time around. Frazee will be the first, but I can assure you that Frazee will not be the last. I just look down to my neighboring school districts. Once people catch word of what can happen, how it can happen, how you can do it, it's going to become a business. We've already got people that sell services to come out and campaign and fight against referendums in support of vote no. So this is a very real deal, especially in our current economic times, and there's a lot of referendums that are going to be sunsetting and people going back and asking for their taxpayers to revote and support the referendum authority. We're asking that we change the Minnesota statute 126C.17. Right now, the current language is 15% of eligible voters. Anybody on the street. Frazee Virgus is a community of about 1,500 people. There's about 4,000 voters in our community. And you can go to any coffee shop and put this piece of paper on the table and get 100 signatures for the end of the day. 15% is a relative low threshold. It's easy. What we're requesting is to increase that threshold to 30% of registered voters.
Okay.
Questions?
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you may have answered this in your data here, but what percentage of the registered voters typically vote in your referendum?
That changes. It's growing every time we have to go back to the table. I'm going to say probably about 60 to 70%.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, I was just looking at your
Senator
sheet,
Hahn.
And I think you do have a fairly high percentage of the registered voters that vote in these elections. In the district I live in, and I used to be on the school board in Eden Prairie, we have something like 30,000 voters. In a referendum election, unless it is tied to a larger statewide election, you might get 10% of those voters who vote. And so 15% of registered voters in Eden Prairie is a significant number, and it may in fact be more than the people who actually vote in the referendum. And so that's what troubles me, is to say we're going to double that to 30%, which would be in some cases prohibitive. Now, maybe in your circumstance you're saying, well, it's fairly easy to get that 15%. But there are many places where it would be very difficult to get 15%. And as you've talked about this, one of the things that comes to mind is that there may be other issues in your district that have caused such a significant number of people who would, as you describe it, willingly, just without even thinking, sign a petition to say, let's recall the vote. That, to me, is indication that there may be some other things going on, and just making it more difficult for people to express that may not be the solution to that. In fact, it may be more provocative in terms of causing further division. So I'm real hesitant to say that 30% is the right way to go here. It might be fine in your community, but I'm not sure that it would make sense to do it everywhere. And I would be real hesitant to, I guess, vote for something that would put that high a burden in cases where it might end up requiring more people than actually vote in an election to sign a petition to recall the vote. And maybe, Mr. Senator Scogin, if you have some other thoughts on that, but is that something that you've considered, or is this something more directed just at Frazee?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, that
Senator Scogin.
Certainly was part of the conversation when Superintendent Stender met with me. I've been in their community, and there are other issues at work there, I think, too. I, in fact, was at a few of their public meetings on their last go-around just to try to explain how the state is partly responsible for some of the things that are happening in public education. And it is a real odd mix. It is a big school district geographically, some real recreational land almost. Well, there's some farmland. There is recreational land, and there are small hubs of communities. And it is safe to say that in some parts of that school district, some of those people don't come to town very often. And so it is a very, very difficult sell to get good communication.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Scogin,
Senator Hand.
And I appreciate that. And if you're looking at the numbers here, where 60-plus percentage of registered voters are voting for that's a pretty good turnout for a referendum election. And as I said, I think, and other than if it's coming at a time when you've got another larger election going on, if you just had a referendum election in a district like mine, to get 60% of the registered voters to come out would be amazing feat. But it tells me that there's a fairly high degree of engagement in the district if you get that number. But if they're also not coming out in support, then the concern I have is that there are some issues that simply raising the threshold to make it more difficult for people to address that, I'm not sure that solves the problem. It may make the tensions that are there even worse by frustrating people who now say, well, now it's even harder for us to express our opinion or get our will heard or whatever their issue might be. So, but I'm, I guess, fundamentally concerned about just setting that as the standard for every district, where, as I said, in some districts, I think that 15% is a very difficult number to reach. And then to double it would make it, in effect, impossible for a district to have this kind of action take place. So I don't know. Maybe there's another way to accomplish what you're trying to get to, but I'm troubled by this solution.
Let me see if I can just frame the issue a little bit more. And I think, Senator Hand, that's one scenario. The changeover in 2002, when the movement was from from a general education levy approach to a referendum approach, that created some pockets of change around the state. The primary areas were affected were in the seasonal recreational areas and in the farmland areas. And I think the other issue that plays into this is that rather than having a kind of secure, ongoing, steady source of revenue, the referendum now is a temporary, has to be renewed source of revenue. So school districts are, I think, very anxious about the idea of continuing to take a referendum that has been passed back to the voters for the same revenues that they have been operating on. And I think what I've the feedback that I've gotten from many districts is that they're very anxious about that, not only about the overall state budget, but anxious about their own local budgets or the revenues that they're raising locally. And I'm not sure this is the exact answer. I think that if you look at the referendums that have been turned over, the last one was in 1993. But I think the worst scenario is what the superintendent mentioned is that it's dividing the communities where you have these factions that kind of move in. And one of the school districts, the Brainerd School District, which came to us, and they had some of the best programs in the state. Just, I mean, a very, very high-level programs, and their referendum went down. And it, in the process, it just divided the community. And parents pulled students out, and they closed schools and laid off, I think, 200 and some staff. And so you had this fairly high-quality education system that just kind of went, shoom, right down. And I think that's something that we need to think about. I don't know if this is the answer at all, but I think that we need to think about how we can support the education system out there, that we're not creating divisive situations in our communities. And I guess the only thing that I would say is that Senator Hand, I think you're correct in that it is a very high standard when you look at the numbers. But I don't know what would happen. Superintendent Stender, you're saying that the public out there really doesn't know kind of what potential they have in their hands, and you're worried about that potential.
That's
Senator Hand.
And Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate your general comments, and I agree with you. I am very cognizant of the kinds of issues you have in greater Minnesota with seasonal property and the local burdens and the kinds of issues that are a little bit foreign to where I represent. But I don't disregard those. It's not that I don't care about those things. And I think that you're right. There may be some other ways to try to get at that funding issue. In fact, I've talked about with people and even tried to write drafts of legislation that might provide the school boards with greater authority without going to referendum to raise local money. And I think that, to me, is feasible if you combine that with some other things that I think would be necessary as a reform. I think we ought to contemplate some of those things. And I think that would be a good project for us this year to talk about. Maybe the way to do this, if this is the remedy that is wanted, maybe we ought to tailor this to apply only to the Frazee-Vergas School District and try it out. I just am very hesitant and would not want to vote for something that, if it were applied in my district, would be, I think, impossible to meet in terms of a threshold. And as you mentioned, if there's only been one other time in recent history, 15 years ago, that this has been exercised, I'd hate to go after what might be a localized problem with the cannon and blow everything out of the water. So I guess I'm not trying to necessarily frustrate the intent here of trying to help the school district, but I guess I'm a little concerned about the remedy here as being a little too broad.
We have several questions, but I think what I'd like to do is just ask Senator Mr. Nauman, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hope you're feeling good.
Much better today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Just a technical point for members to think about. The testimony that we received relates to when a district is being asked to revoke a referendum, that there's a 15% opportunity to sign, for voters to sign and put the question back on the ballot. That also works in the affirmation question. And that's, if you look at the language on page 3, line 3.12, this paragraph relates to both paragraph A and C. So under current law, a school district can have a positive or an increase to the referendum in two different ways. The school board can initiate that effort, or it can be initiated organically through a petition process, the same way a revocation question can be initiated. So I want to be clear that what this language is doing is changing the criteria for both a positive, an increase, as well as a reduction. And we haven't received testimony that they wanted to change it in the affirmation question or the increase question, but we have received testimony that they want to do it on the reduction side. So I want to just put that out there and say, is that what they intend? And so that members are clear that we're doing it on both sides.
As you think about that, Senator Dahl and then Senator Bonhoeffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick comment. And I think that actually I'm supportive of your bill, and I actually believe the percentage should be higher. I don't really believe that schools should get to do a do-over. I mean, the amount of time and resources that go into passing a referendum, and I've worked on several, is unbelievable. It's a year-long process, if not more. The types of community members and school members and teachers that have to come together to do this, and then all of a sudden we get to do a do-over? It reminds me of some other types of elections. But I really I actually am appalled that there's even that's even allowed. So I think the percentage should be higher, almost to the point that it would be very restrictive for people wanting to try to have another reverse referendum.
Okay, Senator Bonhoeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to go down a slightly different track than Senator Dahl, though I appreciate his comments, because it is very tough, and I've worked on referendums as well. I'm wondering if we shouldn't have some kind of a distinction between populations like we do in other sections of law, that a township is different than a metro area, and so at a certain level of population, it might make sense to have the threshold be different. So, you know, I don't know where we've made those distinctions, where the cuts are in other areas of law, but I agree with Senator Hand that to think you could get a 30% in the metro area would be just unheard of. You could never get that. With registered voters, 30% of Mr. Chair, Senator Rummel. 30% of registered voters, that would be very challenging.
Senator Saltzman and...
Well, on that point, Mr. Chair, and one person, one vote.
Yes.
And I would be concerned if we started saying, well, if you're in a small town, you can walk into the local cafe and you can find a lot of people there. I remember when I lobbied and I went across the state and we had many of our meetings in these small cafes, you can find half the town population. But frankly, one of the things is that when we elect our elected officials and we don't particularly like what they do, we have to wait until the next election to basically come back and see if we want to do something different. And I think we've all probably been involved in these operating levies. And I know in Stillwater, the last time around, it became extremely divisive, and the community it was an open debate. It was a spirited debate, but the decision was made. And that's what I'm concerned about with school districts, is that we look at these operating levies, and clearly they have become part of the basic formula. And until we really look at these levies as what they used to be, excess levies for the extras, but when we are using these levies to sustain basic programs, I find it very troubling that we can then pull this support away. Now, obviously, we're looking at a year when we are going to have to make some difficult decisions, and we may be looking at how we fund our schools. But when the voters vote, I think that we look at one person, one vote, whether you're a community of 50,000 people or a community of 50, 30% or 15% is 15%. And if there's will in that community to find folks who really feel that strongly, I believe that one person is one vote. So I would support the Scogin bill. I think that, as Senator Dahl said, should we have it higher? That could be part of the debate, but I think this is very, very reasonable, and I would support it.
Okay, Senator Hinn and Senator Brown.
Mr. Chairman, and I just to also put this into context, I think one of the reasons for this law, and I don't know, maybe Mr. Nauman knows the history of it, but it is not unusual, particularly in, I think, some of the larger districts, to have a very small number of actual registered voters who vote on referendum. And so you could have a circumstance where you have a relatively small percentage of the registered voters passing a referendum. And in that case, then you, I think it's fair to have some opportunity for the whatever the percentage is of the registered voters to say, wait a minute, we think that this needs to be rethought. And I think that was the reason, the intent of the law. And I don't know, Mr. Nauman, if you have any history on that. I guess, to the point that I think there is a recall provision for elected officials. So I think there is a way to recall us if we, and I don't know what that process is, but I think there is a way to do it. But to me, if you've got 60% of the people voting in your district, and they vote to for 5 years to not have it, and then they vote to have it, and then you've got a group that wants to have a do-over, and you're not confident that you can retain that majority, I think there's some significant issues there that changing the threshold to do this doesn't resolve. In fact, I wonder if you did this and you change that threshold to 30%, maybe you'd get them provoked to get 30% of the people to sign it, or maybe the next election they'd throw everybody on the school board out and say, you guys are all, you know, trying to become a tyranny. I don't know the circumstances of your district. But my point is that I don't know that doing this solves the problem, but I do believe it creates some really significant problems for districts like mine that we've never had that happen, and I think, as Senator Stump pointed out, it's a very rare occurrence. I just don't know that 30% is a reasonable number. It may be reasonable in your case. I don't know. I would say it's not reasonable in our case. So,
okay. Senator Salzman, did you want to respond to that?
So, Mr. Chair, I guess that when I hear people say only 15% of registered voters showed up, or 30%, or 80%, when I drive through a school district and there's an operating levy going on, it's pretty clear. The yard signs are up. There's a lot of things going on in the press. It's the talk at the coffee shop on Main Street. And if people choose not to show up and vote, then it's very, very difficult to hear, well, you know, only 15% made the decision. That was their choice. Voting is a very important right and also an important responsibility. And so if I'm not here when a bill is heard, and for whatever reason, or I just decided not to show up for, you know, some like a hearing, and then I don't like the decision that a, you know, committee made, it's difficult for me to say, well, I'd like to hear the bill again. I think that we have to encourage people to be engaged in these decisions. And whenever I have seen these operating levies, they aren't like a stealth attack. They certainly are well known within, you know, these communities, and there's a lot of debate. If people don't vote, it's like, well, now you get a second chance. So I just want to respond to that.
We have three more questions, and then I'd like to allow some time for those who would like to testify on this, and then we'll try to make a decision. The committee will end at 10 o'clock this morning because of we have a shorter period. So Senator Rimmel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, I think Senator Bonoff's suggestion is probably worth exploring, but I fully support what Senator Dahl and Senator Salzman have, so I'm not going to repeat it. I've worked on these levies. To have one recalled and then have to go through that all over again is a huge expense to districts that if people haven't taken the time to vote, then okay. Thank you, sir.
Senator Fulby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, and I don't know that I can be as eloquent and calm as all of you. This stuff just gets me going because I just served on a school board that had numerous failings, and for me it's a bigger issue. Is this what we want our superintendents to be doing year-round, day by day, and our school boards? And that's what I found myself doing as a school board member, and to even know that there's a do-over I think is inappropriate. I think most people out there don't even know it's available. And when I found out that it was, I would agree with Senator Dahl. I think it's I would like to strike it all because I think it's just shouldn't even be an option. People need to vote the first time and be done with it. I think our superintendents and boards are spending way too much time on operating their schools in a thing that used to be just for extras.
Thank you, Senator Fulvey. Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The city that I live in is going through some struggles right now with the city council having several options of making a decision for a bonding kind of referendum or bonding kind of decision without going to a referendum, which they have the authority to do. In a couple of the options they have, a reverse referendum is provided for. In the one that they chose, this Economic Development Authority, it's not available. When you look at this, begs the question here with this, I guess I wasn't even aware, if you have a voter referendum that they voted on, they've already voted on, why would you have a reverse referendum on that? It's one thing if you've empowered the official board to make a decision and provide for a voice of the people to make a reverse referendum. But to reverse something that the people have already spoken on just seems rather strange to me. I think what they ought to be doing, you know, once the levy is approved, it doesn't mean that the board has to authorize or take it all the time. It's a level of authority that you have. They ought to be monitoring how you are using that revenue and understanding it and why we would need it, or whether it's in fact being misused, and deal with it at school board elections. But I do not understand. There probably is a history, but why you would have a reverse referendum on a referendum is it's kind of beyond me.
Okay. We'll have Ms. Saccone, and then I believe I also have Mr. Krumquist. Would like to share some thoughts. Please go ahead, Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mary Saccone, Parents United. I've worked with parent groups on levies for over 28 years, like most of you have. You've mentioned a lot of things I would have, but I would want to add this is the only tax that the public can say no to. I think that puts it at a very different space. Schools are 100% dependent on this. Prior to 1990, less than half of school districts in the state had levies in place. That number today is 92%. In the mid-90s, if you had passed a levy prior to 1990, it was ongoing authorization. In the mid-90s, the legislature said you must sunset whatever you have. They need to be for a finite time. That raised the bar again. I would argue that the public has multiple chances to come out no. First and foremost, a school board must place this on the ballot. So that's the first decision that's made. And having been a former school board member, there's an enormous amount of lobbying that goes on to not place it on the board, on the ballot, or to place it on the ballot. So that's the first shot that no people have. The second shot is the actual vote. And then from a school board perspective, I would ask, what does the school board do with the money? How long do they wait and hold it in abeyance before they plan on how to spend it, or if they can spend it, or if it will be there? So a very stressed budget is stressed with potential dollars potentially sitting in a fund, but no one knows. I think that puts ed funding in even more flux than it is from the state level. So this may seem like a high bar, but one would argue that there are multiple bars that are much lower that they are passing prior to getting there. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Krumquist and then Mr. Lindell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Scott Krumquist with the Association of Metropolitan School Districts. We strongly support Senator Scogin's bill and thank him for bringing this forward. And we would agree with Senator Dahl and Senator Fulvey said we think it's a modest effort. Actually, if anything, we think we should think about going higher than 30%, but at least this would be a great step. Just to reiterate a couple of points, we now are in a situation where 90%+ of our school districts rely on this revenue stream for basic services. So it's not extras anymore, it's basic services. I have districts that have over 20% of their budget comes from the operating referendum. If that would be if that would disappear in an election, you can imagine how that would just obliterate the educational program in that district. To put a little perspective on the numbers, we don't think you should have a variation between the percent required in the metro and the rural. This is an example from a district that just conducted a referendum in the metro area this last fall. They have about 60,000 registered voters. 35,000 supported it, so it passed pretty strongly, actually quite strongly. Under current law, 9,000 voters could sign a petition and override the will of those 35,000 voters that just passed it and say, let's do it over. We don't think that makes sense. Just one other point to make. People vote on school referendum issues for a variety of reasons, not necessarily on the educational program. We have people showing up that are mad at the city council. They're mad at the county, county board. And the only place they have to take it out is on the school referendum. It's the only place they can go and say no. So I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman. Oh, for one final point. Mr. Nauman makes a good point, too, that this applies both ways. So it actually affects or parents that would want to go out and sign a petition to put a referendum on the ballot. It raises the bar for them, too. So, we think it's a level playing field the way it's proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kronquist. Mr. Lindell?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, very briefly, I can't agree more with what Senator Saltzman, Senator Fobey, Senator Dahl, all I couldn't see there, Senator Dahl, all have said that, having worked with a lot of districts that have made it very difficult for them to pass referenda with some of the property tax implications in the low property wealth districts, Senator Fobey hits it right on the head that and Senator Saltzman also said voting is a right, and it's something that needs to be exercised. And if people have a, one bite at the apple to all of a sudden say, now we go around and, as Mr. Kronquist said, a relatively small number of voters can put this, revocation back on the ballot. Referendum campaigns are hard enough and cause enough, oftentimes, enmity within a community or cause stress in a community, and the referendum recalls would only exacerbate that further. Senator Olson makes a very good point that the school board does not have to levy. They have the authority to levy, but they don't have to levy a nickel of what's been passed. And so in Senator Hand's case, if they want to throw out the board and put in a new board that's not going to levy, you can go about and do it that way. I mean, that will be on election day, and it wouldn't be any cost. And put it this way, those discussions would take place within the community as it is. My guess is, though, is when people tend to go from the community to the school board, they tend to see the need for the referendum, and they oftentimes, much of the saber rattling that was done on the taxes tends to dissipate once they're sitting on the board making decisions. But I think that, again, this is a very good bill. It's a modest effort. I think it's something that really needs to be done. I'm familiar with the Frazee situation, and what they've done is, very important for that community, and to just have it undone by a whim of a minority of the community would be unfortunate.
Mr. Chairman?
Hey, Mr. Lundell, if you could just give your name for the record, please.
Brad Lundell, Schools for Equity and Education.
Okay, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, is anybody aware of it ever being this piece ever being used in the affirmative of parents, people going out and trying to get a petition to put a operating levy referendum on the ballot, rather than to reverse it?
Senator Bonner.
Now, it's happened in 1993. I don't know how often it's happened before then. It's happened once to reverse it. But this, you argue that this is both ways. It's hard to envision that anybody would go on the affirmative, this method, to put it on.
Maybe the school board's representative, Ms. Kelleher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Grace Kelleher with the Minnesota School Boards Association. Mr. Deans, my counsel, has aware of only the one that has happened and has come through his office. He tends to be integral to the process of elections in that way. But certainly, as Superintendent Frazee alluded to, with that sunset of referendums every 10 years, the possibility for this happening more and more, and with individuals who actually run no campaigns for a living, becoming active in the process, too. We expect to see more of those. Our delegate assembly took an active position in support of Frazee and for all school districts in December, so we also support the bill.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if it's never been used to put a referendum levy on the ballot, it's been used once to try to take it off, and I think it's been well laid out what the options are. Why aren't we arguing for the repeal of the reverse referendum, or either the reverse, that provision of a vote either way. Rather than just trying to up the ante, we could clean out a page of the statute book and whatever. But
Ms. Kelleher?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I like the idea of saving some trees as we go forward and tossing this all out. I didn't want to mislead you. I was talking about the revocation referendums. We only know there's one. But the petition process by citizens for school boards does happen, I don't want to say often, but I would say every once in a while. Oftentimes it's a way the community can demonstrate how they're interested in the referendum. So this is pretty fair-handed in its approach, and I would say actually school districts for some kind of small protection are really offering up another way to go forward. And I think it's a very fair and even-minded bill for the voters going forward.
We'll hear from Mr. Walseth, and then we have one more, I believe, Mr. Esslin. If you want to move over to the center, please.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Sam Walseth, representing the Minnesota Rural Education Association. Thank you for some time today. We are definitely in support of Senator Scogin's legislation and agree with a lot of the comments today. I'm not going to reiterate the arguments, but I do want to hearken on a point that I think needs to be made. We're living this is a symptom of a larger funding problem here at the state of Minnesota. And in 2001, the first year I showed up at the Capitol, the legislature took over a huge obligation, said we're going to get rid of the general ed levy. We're going to the state general fund can afford to pay for all these services and obligations. And we know this general fund simply cannot afford to do that, not even in normal times and certainly not in the next 4 years with the way the general fund looks. And, Mr. Chairman and members, the Rural Education Association would urge this committee to work with the tax committee to look at consolidating and rolling in a lot of the referendum dollars and creating a permanent property tax base that would support general school operations. We think, frankly, the experiment from 2001 is not panning out. The general fund cannot sustain the obligations we need for public education. And frankly, we need some of that local referendum dollars to be permanent as a permanent source of funding for our school system. And we just encourage you to, as you're looking at the bigger budget deliberations and how you put the E-12 budget bill together this year, to really consider some macro level reforms in terms of the consolidated levy concept that's been before this committee in the past. We think that would go a long way to address some of the concerns that I think over 90% of our districts are facing with trying to maintain their operating referendum. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you very much, Ms. Doslin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Valerie Doslin, and I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators, and we would just like to go on record for all of the reasons that have been stated by the various organizations and the superintendent and Senator Scogin of MASA's support of this legislation.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Hamm.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to ask Mr. Nauman a question, but I see he's disappeared. But maybe in,
stepped out.
Okay. But briefly to the witness or to Mr. Senator Scogin, you've changed this from 15% to 30%, and I guess that's kind of the same question maybe as Senator Olson. What's the rationale for 30%? Why not 20? Why not 25? Why not 100? Why not just do away with it altogether? What's the 30% rationale?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand.
Senator Scogin.
I have a bill on my desk for 40. Just to be for full transparency. I talked to Mr. Nauman a little bit, and we really thought as we got close to that 50%, it would be really no different than running another referendum. You know, we could certainly have said 60%, but at that point, you're asking more people to weigh in on the petition than may have participated in the vote. And so we wanted to be reasonable and still move this in, I think, what is a logical direction.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Nauman, now that you've returned here for a second, could you give us maybe a little bit of history on this provision? Do you know when it was adopted and what the circumstances were? And we've talked about that there's been one attempt to do this, and I'm not sure. Did that attempt succeed? Was the referendum overturned, or was it just
Mr. Chairman, Miller? Senator Hand, I would have to research that. I'm sure there are others in the room that actually know the particulars of that circumstance. I don't at this point. I can also tell you that this change is not – we have not changed this particular aspect of this statute since I've been here, and that takes us back about 13 years. So it's been here for a while. My suspicion is that it was put in place at the time that we originally created this, to originally created the referendum, which would have been, it goes quite a distance back into the 70s, but we would need to research that to be certain when that came in. I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay. Senator Brunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to echo what Mr. Walseth said, that this really is symptomatic. I mean, to look at what's happened around the table to change this little thing shows how much our school districts right now are relying on that referendum. And is that the direction that we want to go in the future? And, you know, this does not seem to be the year to change our whole funding formula, but it does highlight the problem. And so with regard to Mr. Walsh's point, you know, yes, perhaps we should roll in property levies into the formula in some way, but then we also have to be fair, and we have to make sure that as we look at the formula changes, that we also do it in a way that's balanced for all the regions across the state. And so I look forward to that conversation, too.
Senator Roebling and then Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if the one case that has been referred to was Shakopee, but Shakopee did have a reverse referendum. I thought it was in the 80s, but it might have been in the early 90s. And I think it passed. I think they overturned the referendum. But it was, you know, a big commotion in the community, that's for sure. But it but certainly it has been used. And I do remember that there was a petition, and they were successful in getting the correct number of signatures on it. You know, I think we should continue to allow some process. So I would not want to eliminate this section of statute. And when we talk about do-overs, if you fail, you can keep doing it over and over and over. And so I guess, you know, we give it to one side to keep doing over, but then if we would take this away, the other side would never have that opportunity. And also, even here, every year we come back and do over. I mean, we're doing over the Green Acres Bill. We're doing over a lot of legislation that we have done in even the very recent past. And so I would not want to take that opportunity away from the voters.
Senator Rummel.
Mr. Chair, notwithstanding what Senator Roebling just commented on, I was wondering if the author would entertain an amendment to strike paragraph C and D in this section.
Delete the language.
Delete the language.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dowman?
I think it would then be advisable to renumber some of the paragraphs that follow.
Okay, that would be part of it.
As I understand, in effect, this would take away the ability by petition to redo the referendum.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hamm.
If that's a motion, I think, and Mr. Nauman, you can help us out, I think there'd have to be some amendment made to Section A as well.
No.
Because if you say the petition authorized in letter D, A or C is effective, it provides for a petition in Section A but doesn't give any detail about how that's to be done.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I think the reference to paragraph A is to put use a petition to put an affirmative referendum on.
Right, but
we were searching for this to try to find language. You don't want to take away the right of the board to put a referendum on it.
But
so that's not the intent. It was just it's the referendum by petition, either to put it on or to reverse it.
And Mr. Chairman, and Senator Olson, in paragraph A, it says the referendum may be called by the board or shall be called by the board upon written petition of qualified voters. So
you're right. That line would have to be removed.
Well, I'm just saying there would have to be some editing to that.
Let me just clarify what Senator Rummel, what is your intent?
My intent would be to remove both the petition portion, both to put a referendum on or take one off.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman?
In other words, you have the one referendum. If it passes, it passes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
All right. Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, to Senator Roebling's comment about the board can come back, you know, again and again. I carried the initial legislation after we had some experiences where the board was coming back, maybe in, one was failed, and they immediately started the process, and so within a couple of months we're coming back. And if it failed, in one case I think it was at least three times, and it was all within the space of a year. And to make that be, to change that to not being able to do it more than once a year. And through the legislative process, it wasn't a part of my initial legislation, but through the legislative process, it was moved to election day so that you had more people that were that would have a say that generally turn out to vote. That has been standing for some time. So, yes, you can go back. I think that we have some exceptions that you can, if you're in statutory operating debt, you can vote at some other time, but the election day. And I don't believe it applied to the bonding one, because there was some belief that because of construction seasons and how that works, that there may be another time of the year that is more appropriate for holding a bond election. But when... You know, as I related to the general use of reverse referendums have been when the voters haven't had a say in what a decision of the council, the city council in this case, has, is, that there is some opportunities for reverse referendum. But to have a reverse referendum on a referendum that people have had a say in, to me, is really counterproductive. And so I believe that we ought to at least throw it out there and see what kind of reaction that we have.
Senator Scobie.
Well, I think to accept Senator Rummel's proposal would go way beyond the scope of what I had anticipated, but I would be willing to entertain that.
Senator Rummel, is that a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Nauman,
I think to Senator Hand's point, we would need to delete on lines 1.9 or shall be, and on line 10 called through the period ending after district. So the remaining sentence would be the referendum may be called by the board, period. And then paragraph C and D would need to come out. Just a moment, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I think it might be advisable to give the staff the ability to we understand what if this amendment were to go on. I think first we'll say that the balance of her amendment would be to eliminate paragraph C and D, and then we would make paragraph E, C, and paragraph F, D, and then I think to the extent that this goes on, give the staff the flexibility to adjust technically to reflect. There might be some additional references that we would need to correct.
Okay. I think the motion is to remove the opportunity for a referendum, a reverse referendum, basically. Or
by petition.
Or referendum
by petition.
Either affirmative or negative.
And it goes either way, affirmatively or to undo or redo. Senator Bonham.
Mr. Chair, I'm a little bit concerned about making this the next step because I'm concerned that we take away any safeguards that we have, and perhaps this then might raise the profile of this whole issue to the point where it would need to go to state and local government, or I'm concerned that now we may even put more pressure on the correctness of our referendums and without a check and balance. I'm just not certain that we're going to actually accomplish the ultimate goal of what the author is looking for.
just to make it.
Senator Culp.
Mr. Chair, and this is maybe a question for Mr. Nauman. Is there, if we're removing the opportunity for referendum or reverse referendum by petition, is there any opportunity then for a reverse referendum, or what would be the procedure for that then if we take away this petition ability?
It's my understanding there would not.
There would be none.
So once a referendum is passed, then it's in place. And then it would be up to the school board to either operate or use the money that the referendum was passed for, or they could obviously, you know, the referendum is passed for a period of years, and I believe most of them are for about 5 years, so they'd have to redo that referendum when that referendum ran out. Senator Anderson and then Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I want to ask Senator Rummel to explain why she wants to do both of these things. I understand they're really very different to me. One of them is, I mean, I understand why we would want to prevent reverse referendums, which are just reversing what the voters decided and giving them a, you know, sort of redoing that election. That's one thing. But taking away the voters' ability to petition for a referendum is, it's a very different thing, because you're asking for an affirmative action if you don't agree with what the school board has done. But it's very different from reversing an election. So I'm not sure why you're mushing them together. And I guess I haven't heard the justification for the one, and I've heard the justification for the second, which, you know, is the same intent of Senator Scogin's bill, but why do the other?
Senator Rummel?
I was of the understanding that it would that these two balance each other, that we're not giving people the opportunity to do one thing but not do the other. And as Senator Hanna's often pointed out, we do elect our school boards to make certain decisions about how we operate our schools. And, you know, as a former school board member, I often felt that we never got to do anything except do what the state told us to do and carry out things other than raise money. So I think returning the authority to the school board as elected officials to make those decisions is an important thing to do.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, two points. I think the taking the petition one away is based on the fact that it's probably never been used. In this day and age, I don't think we have many people seeking to raise property taxes, number one. And the second part is, in terms of taking away the reverse of what the voters have already put in place, I can't think of us in this day and age, of any school board and any BS committee being able to stealthily slip this thing through and cloud the eyes of the voters so that they don't know what they have an opportunity to vote on and what the impact will be. And so to say that you can come back and, for whatever reason, they want to go through the exercise of reversing it, when there are other avenues to deal with that, both in election of school boards, in terms of attending school board meetings and analyzing how the money is being spent to determine whether, in fact, it is a valid investment of their money. I just don't see why we do it. So I support Senator Rummel and her motion of what I suggested.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scogin, let's try bringing this to a vote.
I just want to make sure everybody's clear on what we're about to do, and Dr. McQuay thought maybe not everyone was, so I don't know if you want to have counsel just make sure that everybody understands the implication of taking out both C and D.
Sure. Who wants to? Well, Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman, what I think, at least what I understood the motion to be, would be to eliminate the ability of having the voters petition to put the question back on the ballot, either in an affirmative way to increase the referendum or to reduce it, either way. And that was the discussion that I had. If there's something different than that, we would need to reconstruct it.
Mr. Chairman?
Is that, Senator Rummel, is that your motion?
Yes.
Okay. So that is the motion. And then a couple quick questions, and then we need to try to bring this to vote. We do have another bill that we'd like to address. Senator Hahn.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, before we vote, I think Senator Bonhoff makes a good point, and I just would like to urge some caution on the part of the committee. I agree, Senator Stumpf, you made some comment about there is a need for some reform. I think that is true. I have said and still say that I think if we want to do away with the referendum process altogether, I think under certain circumstances that is a supportable idea. However, if there's a this has been a law that's been in place a long time, has been used once, is now contemplating being used for a second time. And if that is the problem, then the narrow solution to it would be to address a law to the Frazee-Vargas situation and permit them to do what they think they want to do. But by doing this in a broad way, this will not be unnoticed by people who will say, well, now we've done some things to prohibit the ability of people to petition for a change in a referendum. And even if it has never been used or used only once, I guess I just want to make sure that that's what people want to do. Because I guess I'm a little concerned, as Senator Bonhoff mentions, that you might be poking a hornet's nest here.
All right. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, referendums are a hornet's nest. But to have a referendum, a referendum to reverse a referendum that they've already had is a really an odd configuration of our structure. Okay. If they hadn't had a chance to vote on it and wanted to reverse a decision of the board, which in some of the cases that we have with cities, that to me is one thing, and I would not take that away. In fact, the people because the city has used the one that doesn't have a reverse referendum, they've got a hornet's nest on their hands in this city because people want the right to vote. But they had the right to vote in this case, and now I said, oh, I changed my mind. Well, maybe some of us have changed our mind after we voted in an election for a candidate, and you wait till the next election. And we have those options, and I think that this is worth supporting.
Senator Rowland.
Well, I expressed my concerns before the amendment was offered. That I do think that leaving it in its original form would probably be most advisable. The way Senator Scogin brought it in here, I don't like to take away the people's right to petition in an instance like this. Either way. For or against, and like I said, we get to do do-overs, and I think sometimes, and I understand what often happens. If the vote is taken during a general election for governor or president, oftentimes it's one thing, because the turnout is heavy. But in a non-statewide election year, the turnout is often very low, and you could have a very low percent of the number of voters voting for it, and the 30% in some instances would be as high as the number of people who passed it of the registered voters. And so I don't think that that's necessarily that unreasonable to ask to set that kind of a level and say, well, if that happens, then they're going to have to put it back on there.
Okay. Call the question.
On the Senator Rummel's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in question. All those in favor, please raise their hand. Okay, all those opposed, raise their hand. Motion prevails 8-6. So, all right, Senator Scogin, you have a little different bill.
Yes, I do. Where does it go from here, Mr. Chair?
State and local. Senator Scogin, I think my recommendation would be that we lay it on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. Staff has work to separate out and be sure that everything's correct. It will eventually have to it'll have to go through, obviously the whole bill goes through taxes, but I think we want to be sure that the staff has everything working the way it's supposed to work. Senator Hand?
Mr. Chairman, and someone raised the point earlier, does this need now to be reviewed by state and local government, or because
I don't, Senator Hand, I think if it becomes part of the omnibus bill, I don't think it does.
Okay.
Because it has to go through the tax committee as well. If it goes on its own, then what we'll have to do is get it so that it's correctly functioning, and then go out through finance, and then to state and local, and then back to tax committee, I believe. So, okay. My recommendation would be, Senator Scogin, is to lay it on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Okay. On Senator Scogin's motion, Senate file 314 as amended, be recommended to be passed and are laid on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance committee. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Motion is adopted. And members, we are not going to be able to get to Senator Saltzman's committee, or Senator Saltzman's bill 851. We will take that up next week. And then also, members, we will be digging into the budget next week. And I just want to reiterate that we have some very difficult decisions to make, and that it's not going to, the next few weeks are not going to be easy ones. So we'll try to keep you informed as much as possible, but we still have that deficit to deal with, and it's going to be a difficult one. So thank you very much, members, for the great discussion.